For a new year, and it's taken out of the passage that Neil read for us from Isaiah 43, verses 16 to 21. And so you may want to turn your Bibles there, because we'll be kind of looking at some thoughts that are taken from that passage. Has anyone heard of the science fiction writer Isaac Asimov? Some of you may be familiar with his books. Well, about 50 years ago, Isaac Asimov, who, as I said, was a science fiction writer, predicted what he might find 50 years down the line. So he made these predictions around 1967, and he used his gift for envisioning future technology, and he made some guesses what he would see 50 years down the line. And he got three of those guesses right. And I just want to share them with you. 50 years, this is what he says. 50 years from now, appliances will have no electric cords. Now remember, he's speaking in 1967. Well, today, what do we have? We have smartphones, we have laptops, which use wireless signals. So he got that right. And then he said, communications will become sight, sound, and you will see as well as hear the person you telephone. Well, we have that today, don't we? It's called Skype, FaceTime. And there's probably other ones that I'm not aware of. And then a third one, prediction that he made back in 1967, was kitchen units will be devised that will prepare auto meals, heating water and converting it into coffee. Well, we have Tassimo that combines the art of coffee making and barcode technology. Now, these technologies did not exist 50 years ago. They are entirely new. And the reason why I share that is because today, this morning, we're going to look at how God is willing and able to do something entirely new in our lives individually and in this church body. He is willing to and able to do a new work unlike any work that he has done before. And I believe, based on what we're going to see in this passage of Scripture, I believe that he is willing to begin that new work even today. And so, let's just pause for prayer and then we'll look at some principles from this passage. Lord, we thank you for what your word tells us. Your word speaks to us, Lord. Your word does not return to you empty, but accomplishes the purpose for which you sent it. Lord, I just pray that as we look into this passage in Isaiah, as we contemplate the work that you are doing in our lives, the new work that you're doing in us individually and corporately, Lord, that we would hear your voice, we would discern your will, and Lord, that we would be obedient to those new things that you have for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little bit of feedback here. Is my mic too close to my mouth or no? You guys will cover it? Okay. What we're going to see in this passage is that God's first work is to change our circumstances. And we'll see that as it relates to the nation of Israel. And then his greater work is to change our hearts, internal work. So the first work is sort of an external one, a change of circumstance. And then this greater work is an internal work of changing our hearts. You know, I believe that it's almost anything is easier to get into than out of. Right, like for example, well, at least you know this is the case for me anyway. It's easier to get into bed than to get out of it. Right, it's easier to get into debt than it is to get out of debt. It's also easier to fall into temptation and sin than it is to get out of it. And the reason why I say that is because in the situation here that we're looking at in Isaiah 53, it talks about how God made a way through the sea and a path through the mighty waters, referring to the exodus of Israel. You see, it was easier for Israel to go into Egypt than to leave it. To get out of Israel, or to get out of Egypt, took 10 plagues, followed by another major miracle from God. What was that major miracle? Well, it talks about that right here. Makes a way through the sea. The major miracle was the parting of the Red Sea. Out of all the miracles in the Testament, I would rate the miracle of creation, obviously, as the biggest and most incredible miracle. But the second one, of the Red Sea. Now, just to remind us how amazing this miracle was, here are a few facts about the Red Sea. It's over 2,200 kilometers long. On average, it's about 220 kilometers wide and 500 meters deep. Now, this is obviously something no person could walk or swim across, let alone a million people. And so God here performed a major miracle, and that was to get Israel across the Red Sea. Now imagine if you'd been there, or if I'd been there, what would your reaction be? I think any action movie that we've ever seen pales in comparison to this event. This was the greatest and most memorable miracle in the history of Israel. And upon reaching the other side, more than a million people sang and praised and danced before the Lord. But what we'll see in a bit is that that praise and that dancing and that excitement and awe was short-lived. Now I want you to think of a time, when the Lord came to your help, where he got you out of a tight spot. And no doubt you were thankful. I'm going to share a situation that happened in my life where I was terribly thankful to the Lord for getting me out of a tight spot. This happened many years ago in the late 80s when I was leaving University of Guelph to come here to Edmonton to study at the University of Alberta. And I had all my possessions in my little Honda Civic, just packed to the gills. It's almost, you know, break the shocks on the car. It was so heavy. And anyway, I decided to go down into the U.S. and then come up under Manitoba just to do something different. And so I stopped off in a little town called Flint, Michigan for some gas and get a burger. And so as I got out of the car, I noticed two guys kind of standing there. And looked a little bit shady. But anyway, I just went in, got my burger, and then I came out and one of the guys came up to me. And he said, "Hey, can you give me a ride to my mother's place? She lives just down the road, 2 miles down the road. You know, I got no way of getting there." And it was drizzly, kind of rainy, and I thought, wasn't there two of you? Where's the other guy? But anyway, I said, "Okay, if it's just 2 miles down the road, I'll give you a ride." So I hopped in the car, and we're driving. He says, turn left. No, turn right, turn here. I said, "I thought you wanted to go down the road." He says, no, you got to turn here. So I start turning in, and I'm not having a good feeling about this. It's kind of going into a wooded area. And so I said at that point, "That's it. I can drive you down the road to your mother's place, but I'm not going up here." So I told him to get out of the car, and he got out, and I backed up and went back down the road on my way to Edmonton. And as I thought back on that, I think I was being set up for something pretty serious, pretty tragic. I think the other guy was probably hanging out in the woods and I was going to drive in there and who knows what would have happened. But I share this because I believe the Lord was working in me and giving me a sense of this is not a good case scenario. And so he provided a way out of a dangerous situation. And so I believe that the Lord wants to do far more in our lives than improve our circumstances. Though that is a good thing, and that is something that needs to happen. But I believe that it is his will to do a new work in you and through you that surpasses even the great miracle of the Red Sea. The new work that I believe the Lord wants to do in your life involves more than deliverance from danger. The new work that He wants to do in your life will be more than to change the status quo. He will do those things. But the new work He wants to do in our lives exceeds even that. And I believe it is the miracle of fashioning us, changing our hearts, molding us more and more into the image of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the new work that He wants to do in our lives is an internal work. And the reason why I say that is because right here in verse 21, the Lord says, the people whom I formed for myself, and that word forming means molding, transforming, changing us. The people whom I formed for myself will declare my praise. And so what we see here is that as the Lord fashions us and molds us into the image of Christ Jesus, it results in long-term, lifelong praise and glory of God. And so His will, His greater work, is an internal work, fashioning us, molding us into the image of the Lord Jesus. That, I believe, is the greater miracle that surpasses the parting of the Red Sea. And the reason why I say that is because it results, as I said, in long-term honor of God. In order for this new work to happen, however, it tells us here verse 18, in order for this new work to happen, we need to let go of the past. Tells us here in verse 18, do not call to mind the former things or ponder the things of the past. Behold, I'll do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I'll even make a roadway in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. And then if we go to Ecclesiastes 7, chapter 7, verse 10, there's a verse that kind of speaks to living in the past. And it says in verse 10 of Ecclesiastes 7, do not say, why is it that the former days were better than these? For it's not from wisdom that you ask about this. That's my reality sometimes. Longing for the good things of the past, wishing that God would revive them or redo them and renew them. But the passage here tells us that when God does a new thing, we need to not allow the past to hinder that new work. And I believe it is important for us to reflect on the past with thankfulness. I believe it is God's will for us to recall the great wonders that He has done in our lives. I mean, that's even part of what communion's about, right? Is reflecting on the incredible work that Christ accomplished for us on the cross. But the thing is, what this passage is telling us, I believe, is that we must not restrict Him to do what He has done in the past. In other words, His past miracles should not dictate His future miracles. His past work should not dictate His new work. And that's because the Lord is willing and He's able to do a new work in you and through you. The Lord is willing and able to give you experiences that far exceed anything you've experienced until now. And what He will do in the future may be very different from what He's done in the past. But I do believe that it can be even greater than what He's already done. Sometimes we can put God in a box by insisting that things be done as they have always been done. The past is important, as I said, and we need to recognize that the past, though, is not all that God is able to do. And so sometimes we need to let go of the past in order to move forward into the new and preferred future that the Lord has in store. Here's an example from my own personal life. As many of you know, my first training in university was in biomedical sciences. And I was in that field because my dad was in that field, you know, like father, like son, usually how it goes. And so after I graduated, I got a teaching degree, and I was a high school teacher, teaching biology and science, and that was part of my way I earned our living. And it was God's will at the time. But he was also doing a new work in my life. And about 20 years ago, the Lord called me out of that, and he called me to pastor a second generation Korean Presbyterian church. That was my first ministry. Now, two things about that ministry were entirely new to me. That was not on my radar whatsoever. First, it was Presbyterian. Now, I have nothing against Presbyterian. It's totally fine, but I kind of got discipled in the Baptist denomination. And so it never occurred to me that one day I would serve as a pastor in a Presbyterian denomination. The second thing that was totally new to me is it never occurred to me that I would serve the Korean people. And I praise God for giving me that opportunity, but that was not on my radar. I was thinking maybe if I was to serve the Lord in a different people group, it would have been either in Africa, maybe the Middle East. But in all my planning and all my praying, it never occurred to me to pastor a second generation Korean Presbyterian church. That was something new to me. But it was not new to God. And I'm so thankful for that new work that he did in my life at that time. And so here, the reason why I share that is because I believe in the same way the Lord may be leading you into something new, something entirely new that you've never considered before. He may be leading you into a new career path. He may be leading you into a new relationship. Maybe leading you, if you're a university student, to a new program at university or a new school. He may be leading you into a new ministry. We don't know. And corporately, as a church body, I believe he is leading Parkland Baptist Church into a new future, a preferred future that is different than what he's done in the past. And when the Lord begins to do a new work in our lives individually, and when he begins to do a new work among us corporately, he will make it obvious. He will make it clear. I believe he will convince us to such an extent that there will be no excuse for doubt or for disobedience. And why do I say that? Well, if we go to Isaiah 42, the next chapter or the chapter previous, and we look at verse 9, Isaiah says this, or the Lord says this through Isaiah, "Behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things. Before they spring forth, I proclaim them to you." In other words, before the opportunity is there, or before that new venture comes to reality, God proclaims them to us beforehand. I was told an illustration that I think kind of highlights this quite well. A captain of a ship was once asked, "How is it that you can navigate this ship into a dangerous canal at night without ever going aground?" And the captain said, "You see those three lights out there in the water? When those three lights merge into one ahead of me, then I know that I'm in the canal." And I believe there are three lights that need to align in order to discern this new work that the Lord is doing. And when these three lights merge into one, it is time to move forward. It is time to take action. What are those three lights that need to agree, that need to align? Well, the first one is the Word of God. The Word of God, Scripture. See, we all have to make thousands of decisions in our lives. Some are major, some are minor. And sometimes when we come into the valley of decision or come to crossroads, I know in my own life I get anxious trying to figure out what the Lord would have me to do. And it's when I get into the Word of God and ask Him to direct my steps, I begin to find peace of mind. And so I believe that we need the Word of God to discern the will of God. We need the Word of God to discern the will of God. And so that's the first light. The second light is answered prayer. In my office here, I got this banner on the back that has one of my favorite verses on it. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 to 21. Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. That's some of it. Kind of forget all the words in there. So if you want to know what the verse says, either go to my office or turn to Ephesians 3, 20 to 21. But the idea there is that God is able to answer our prayers in ways that go far beyond what we might even ask or think. There is no limit to the power of God in answering our prayers. When we pray according to the will of God, then God answers. He may not answer immediately, but He does answer. And He answers in ways that awe us. I believe that our petition can never exceed God's ability to grant. The only limit to our prayers is our asking. And so the lights that need to align when we are trying to discern the work that God is doing in our lives, the new work that He proclaims before He brings it about, is the light of Scripture. The light of answered prayer. And the third one that needs to align, that needs to agree, is the counsel of other believers. The counsel of godly men and women. If you turn with me to Acts chapter 16, verse 10, we see this being played out with the Apostle Paul. You would think that the Apostle Paul, being an apostle, wouldn't need the counsel of believers to discern God's will. But he did. So here Paul is on a second missionary journey with his team. And they're going along and they wanted to go down south, I think, into Asia Minor, where Ephesus is and Colossae, those various regions there. But the Lord closed the door. That was their plan, to go there. But the Lord closed the door. So then they said, well, now what? So then they thought, let's go north to Bithynia and go up there. And the Lord closed the door there as well. And so here they are at a standstill. What do we do? And then this is where we have the Macedonian vision. Paul at night in a dream, he saw this man from Macedonia come here to help us. And so Paul was perplexed about this vision that he had. And he shared this vision with his missionary team. And in verse 10 of chapter 16, it tells us, when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. This was not on their radar. This was something new. That word conclude, at least in my translation, I'm using the New American Standard Translation, that word conclude means to make things agree, to put all the facts together. And so as Paul shared this vision with his team, you know, they're probably thinking, is this lining up with God's word? Is this a vision from the Lord? Is this an answer to prayer? And so they concluded, they agreed together that this was the Lord's will. And so they immediately moved forward in obedience. And this is when the gospel first comes to Europe. The gospel now is moving into Europe as a result of that vision that the Lord had. And so when God does a new work, His new work may not be consistent with our plans. His new work may not be consistent with our past experience. But it will be consistent with Scripture. It will be consistent with answered prayer. It will be consistent with the counsel of His people. And I can attest that the reason why I'm here today is because those three lights aligned. God clearly showed me in Scripture that this is where I needed to be. He answered my prayers. And when I sought the counsel of others, it was affirmative. And so I'm here because those three lights agreed. And when Dave Zirk gave me the call to say there was an affirmative vote, I knew what the answer was. Though I told Dave, give me another day. You know, I don't know why I said that. I said, give me another day and I'll get back to you one day later. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, everything is aligning. But when those three lights agree, when Scripture, answered prayer, and the counsel of God's people agree together as one, it is time to move forward in what God is doing. It is time to act. And I believe the Lord has done great things in this church. But I also believe that He is willing and able to do even greater things in the days ahead. Because that's the God that we serve. And so let's not allow the successes of our past, let's not allow the failures of our past to restrict Him from what He wills to do in the days ahead. And so what we see from this passage here is that God's work is not only to change our circumstances, but His greater work is to change us internally, to change our hearts as individuals and as a corporate body. And as I mentioned, the parting of the Red Sea was the second greatest miracle in the Old Testament. And how did Israel respond? Well, they responded with praise, with adoration, with excitement and awe. But if we follow Israel a few months later, what do we find them doing? Well, they're grumbling. They're complaining. They're asking to return to Egypt. They're worshiping a golden calf. And the principle there is this, is that if we allow the Lord to work in our circumstances only and not in our hearts, He may be glorified for a season. We may be in awe and in praise and be thankful for the change in our circumstances, but it will be short-lived. Because the change in circumstances leads only to a temporary honor of God. Back to verse 21, it says, the people whom I formed for myself, speaking of an internal work, will declare my praise. And so what that suggests is that when God does an internal work, when He does the work of transforming our hearts and minds, the work of molding us into the image of Christ Jesus, the outcome of that is long-term, lifelong honor and praise and service to the Lord. And so just a few concluding thoughts as we come to an end here. An artist can take $10 canvas, splash some paint on it, and make it worth thousands. Bill Gates can sign his name on a blank check, I wish he would do that for me, and make it worth millions. The Lord Jesus can take our sin-laden life, cleanse it by His blood. He can take the broken image of God in us and restore it, so that in turn our lives become an incredible channel of untold blessing. So I want you to ask yourself, or even ask the Lord, what is the new work that He wants to do in your life for 2017? What does He have in store for you individually as well as corporately? Now, it may not be obvious to you now, but He will make it obvious. He will make it clear to you as you search the Scriptures, as you seek Him in prayer, as you consult other godly men and women. And when you've discerned that new work that He's doing in you through this process, once you've discerned it, then it is time to take action. It is time to act. And so let's not allow our past successes limit what the Lord wants to do in the future. Let's not even allow our past failures to keep us from what God wants to do in the days ahead. And let's not allow unbelief resist the great work that the Lord wants to do in you and through you. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that there's no exhausting the things and the work that you can and will do in our lives. Just as Jeremiah said in Lamentations, your love is new every morning. It doesn't matter how long we've been alive, every day is an opportunity to experience you in a new way. And Lord, I just pray that you would make known to each one of us individually and to us as a corporate body, as a congregation of your people, the new work that you're doing in our lives. Lord, that you would make it clear to us through your word, through answered prayer, through the fellowship of other believers. And Lord, that you would just eliminate any guesswork in our minds, any uncertainty, any doubt, that we would have that complete confidence in what you're doing and then act in obedience and in submission to you. Lord, I thank you for the new work that you are and will do among us. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'll call on the worship team while they're here already to lead us in the closing song.